Chapter 15. Quinn. The days that I hadn't heard from Cage had been the worst days of my life. The only time I didn't think about him was when I slept, and even then, I dreamed about him. At first, it was because I couldn't wait to hear from him again. Then, it was because I needed to figure out why I hadn't. I was a wreck, and poor Lou had to deal with it. He listened to me ask why I hadn't heard from Cage again and again. It was he who had suggested that we find out when Cage's next shift was and show up. Lou's superpower was definitely figuring out relationships with guys. I loved him for it. Although it was Lou's idea to do it, when we did it was up to me. No matter the reason for Cage's disappearance, I knew that I had to get him the results of his genetic test. It was too important to him. I hadn't expected him to say everything he had, but I had liked it. To be honest, I even liked that he was returning to football. The dream life he was talking about when we were in Snowtip Falls sounded fantastic. I would love a simple life with him and a family. But I had responsibilities to others. Hell, I had a responsibility to the kids like me, who hadn't even been born yet. Being the boyfriend to the first out NFL player fit that picture. I wouldn't have to figure out how to change the world if I were that. Cage and I would change the world together just by loving each other. The problem was that this wasn't the end of the story. There was something I knew that he didn't. There was a part of me that wished he didn't want to know the results of the test. In that case, we could freeze everything where it was and live like this forever. That wasn't the case, though. All I could do was tell him that I loved him. "I want to know," he said, having pulled away. I swallowed and braced myself. "You and Nero are brothers," I told him.
"We're brothers?"
Cage looked at me, shocked. "Yes."
"That means I have a mother."
"You do."
"Oh my God," he said, falling into a seat. "I can't believe this."
"There's more."
"What?"
"You're not just brothers. You're full brothers. You share the same mother and father." Cage stared at me, stunned. His mouth hung open, trying to process it all.
"I need to tell him,"
he said, scrambling for his phone. Beside himself, Cage found his brother's number and called him.
"Nero, we got back the results."
"Yeah,
we're brothers,"
Cage said with tears forming in his eyes. There was a long pause before Cage spoke again. Tears streamed down his cheeks as he listened. Cage turned to me and mouthed, "He's crying."
"Yeah," he said, returning his attention to the call. "I would definitely like to meet our mother. What about tomorrow? I could drive up."
"Okay, then I guess I'll see you soon. And Mom, then."
"I know, right?"
Cage said with a smile. Cage ended the call and stared at his phone.
"I'm going up tomorrow."
"Can I come with you? I mean, if you want me to. I can get us a room for the weekend in case you want to stay over," I told him, wanting to be a part of what was going to be the most important moment of Cage's life.
"Of course you can. None of this would be happening if it wasn't for you. I want you there,"
Cage said sincerely. Relief washed through me knowing that he wanted me there. I was sure that he would hear he had a brother and things would be over between us. I couldn't compete with that.
"Did you want to grab something to eat tonight? My treat. I could maybe stay over at your place and we could head out in the morning,"
I suggested, wanting to be with him as much as he would let me.
"I'd like that," Cage said with a smile.
It was amazing to see his smile again. It was what I had missed the most. Well, maybe it wasn't what I missed the most. What I missed the most, I was hoping to get tonight back at his place. After making plans with Cage, I met up with Lou and watched him climb the rock wall for a bit. I made a half-hearted effort to join in, but I was too excited about meeting up with Cage. There was a pizza place I had been wanting to take Cage to.
When I had gone with Lou, we had found it romantic, as awkward as it was to be there with him. But it was the perfect place for a date. Sitting across the table from Cage felt exactly how it did in Snowtip Falls. With his face glowing from the candle lighting the table, he reached over and placed his hand on mine. My heart thumped, staring into his eyes. God, did I love him. I could barely contain myself. I loved him so much. "Do you still have any of that ice cream at your place?" I asked suggestively. "I do," he said with a smile. "Did you want to head to my place and see what comes up?" Cage knew how to make me hard. Just his suggestion made me have to stick my hands in my pockets to stand up. The drive to his place did nothing to dampen the heat bubbling between us. So, arriving at his cabin, we didn't even pretend to get ice cream. We just went straight to his room and tore each other's clothes off. Although Cage had been the one to initiate things the last time, this time I was the one all over him. Kissing him, my tongue went in search of his. Twirling around his, I pulled him deeper into me. I wanted Cage inside of me, and I didn't care which part. Sinking my fingertips into his naked flesh, I grabbed him. It drove Cage wild. Pushing a hand down onto the front of his pants, he was hard. I hadn't forgotten how incredibly big he was, so I was ready this time. Dropping to my knees, I peeled down his pants. I was eye to eye with his bulging underwear. I rubbed my face against it, wanting to smell his manly scent. He smelled like sex. It made my cock ache. Quickly removing his shorts, I took hold of him with both hands and pushed him into my mouth. So big. He was a mouthful, but I slobbered over every inch of him that I could take. Rounding the rim of his dick, I pulled my hands back and forth over his impressive shaft. "Ugh!" he groaned as I did. He could only take it for so long. Cupping the back of my head in his large hands, he pulled me to my feet and moved me onto his bed. It didn't take him much time to finish undressing me. Then, with both of us hard and naked, Cage climbed on top. "I want you to fuck me. I want to feel you inside of me," he said to my surprise. I didn't know why I thought he wouldn't want that, but I was more than happy to give it to him. Even though I would be penetrating him, it was clear that Cage would still be in control. "I have something," he said, leaning past me and retrieving a bottle from his nightstand drawer. I recognized it. It was the lube. He placed it beside me as I lay on my back and then bent down, taking his dick in my mouth. God, was he good at that. In seconds, my legs started to bounce. He didn't let go of me, though. Seeing how close I was, he instead squeezed a dollop of lube into his palm and smeared it behind him and on my cock. Even the grip of his stroke brought me closer to coming. I was helpless to his will. Seeing me struggle, he didn't waste time in moving his hips over my cock. With his hand guiding it, he touched my tip to his hole. It was then that I felt one of the greatest sensations of my life. Taking his time with it, Cage eased me inside of him. "Yeah," I moaned, losing my mind. I could barely hold on much longer. With my skin crawling and on fire, I felt him swallow me and sit on my crotch. The sensation was amazing. Looking up, Cage looked overwhelmed and mesmerized. He could see that I was quickly losing it, and once he started slapping his hips against me, I gave in to my struggle and exploded. "Ah!" I bellowed, tearing into the sheets. It was like it was what Cage was waiting for, because as soon as I released, he grabbed his cock and jerked himself until he came. Exhausted, Cage collapsed onto my chest. With him panting, I thought that this is how we were going to fall asleep. It wasn't, because as soon as I shrunk out of him, he wrapped his arms around me and rolled me over so that I was beside him. That was when he pulled me into his arms. This was the only place I ever wanted to be.
Unlike the last time, this time, I laid awake thinking about how great everything had felt. I didn't think I was a top guy. It was one of the reasons I had never seriously thought about dating women. But apparently, I was. It took Cage to bring it out of me. I was so glad he did, too. The sensation was like anything I had ever had. "I didn't know you liked that," I said to him, wanting to hear his voice.
"Neither did I, but I've always wanted to try it, and you have such a great dick."
I blushed. "Thanks. Yours is pretty great, too."
"You think so?"
"It's amazing."
"Then give me a minute and I'll let you have it."
"Okay," I said, feeling myself get hard again.
"Is the minute up? Because I think I am," he said with a laugh.
I reached down and got a handful. He definitely was. Again climbing on top of me. This time, he lifted my legs and placed the back of my thighs against his chest. Retrieving the lube, he smeared a generous amount between my cheeks and on his shaft. This time facing him, he placed his tip on my hole and leaned forward to kiss me. It was as he kissed me that he pushed himself in. Entering didn't take him nearly as long as the last time. Then, perching himself on top of me, he balanced himself and fucked me silly. Having recently come, our new session went on and on. When he was done with that position, he twisted me into another. I did anything he wanted me to, and I loved it. We fucked until I no longer had the strength to lift my arms. I was his ragdoll. And when he finally came and then reached around and jerked me off, there was nothing left for either of us to do except collapse into each other's arms and fall asleep. When I woke up the next morning, there was no forgetting that my very large boyfriend had spent the night fucking me. I could barely walk straight. It felt weirdly good. I liked being reminded that I had been with Cage and that he had manhandled me. I wanted a lifetime of that, even though I knew my ass couldn't take him again anytime soon.
"How are you feeling this morning?"
Cage asked me with a smile.
"Sore, but good," I said, blushing. "I'm a little tired myself. I don't think my dick works anymore. It's worn out."
"Yes, I know the feeling. But it's not my dick."
We both chuckled. "So are you ready to sit down for an hour and a half drive?"
he asked teasingly.
"I can't wait," I said, wondering if I could take it.
Mercifully, we didn't immediately head out. He fixed us breakfast while I stood around the kitchen, and we ate as I leaned against a wall. It was only after that that I was ready to go. Driving to Snowtip Falls, I could tell that Cage was excited but nervous. I was nervous too. What if his mother didn't like me? What if she was against the idea of her son being with a guy? Nero had said that his calling us fags wasn't him. That had to have come from somewhere, didn't it? What if it came from her? Nero had suggested that we meet at the diner since nowhere in Snowtip Falls showed up on a map. Driving past the town's welcome sign brought back a lot of memories. It was hard to believe that it was a week ago that we were here and that we had only been here for 3 days. It felt like we had built a lifetime of memories in that time. Coming from New York, I never imagined I would enjoy spending time somewhere with such a slow pace, but I did. It almost felt like this was the speed you were supposed to live life. Approaching the diner, I asked him if we should check in with Dr. Sonia and drop off our bags before we met up with Nero. Cage didn't see the point. I agreed, so we headed right over.
"You guys hungry?"
Nero asked when we entered. He looked like a different person than the one we had first met. For one thing, he had a smile on his face. Everything about him looked lighter.
"Are you gonna join us?"
Cage said, as happy to be with Nero as Nero was to be with him.
"Yeah, I'll join you," he said enthusiastically. "You're not off yet," the cook yelled from the kitchen. "Is anyone else in here?" I'll get back to work when someone comes in, he said with bravado. You guys want burgers? I'll ask him to fix us a couple burgers. Pick a seat, he said before heading back to the kitchen. He seems happy to see you, I told Cage. As nervous as Cage had looked before we arrived, he was now glowing. If this wasn't his brother, I would have guessed that he was in love with him. Maybe Cage was, just in a brotherly way. I was an only child, so I didn't know how the two of them felt. Was this the way it was when you had a sibling? It must be nice to have someone you can count on and have your back. I had always thought that was what a boyfriend was for. But as I think of it, that is also what family did. Once Nero rejoined us, I couldn't do much but sit back and listen to the two talk. Every so often, Nero would direct a question at the both of us. He even asked me a few questions directly. I tried to keep my answers short, though. I knew why we had come, and I wanted this to be as little about me as possible. Once we were done with lunch, the look on Nero's face changed. A weight took over him. So, did you want to meet our mother? Yeah, Cage said with the innocence of a 10-year-old. Getting up, I reached for my wallet to pay. I got it, Nero said. That's fine, I have it, I said, not wanting to put him in that situation. No, I got it, Nero insisted. I was about to object when Cage cut me off. Nero says he has it, he said abruptly. It startled me. I had clearly upset him. But at the same time, I couldn't let him pay for me. It would be unfair. Nero might not have known it. And Cage might not have realized how unfair it would be. But I knew, so I couldn't let it happen. Can I at least leave the tip? The tip? Nero asked, confused. Cage growled. He was not happy. For the cook, I clarified. If he wants to tip the cook, let him tip the cook yelled from the kitchen. I didn't realize that he could hear us. Nero laughed. All right, you can leave the tip. I pulled out enough to pay for the meal and left it on the table. I tried to do it so Nero didn't know how much I was leaving, but he did. His eyes flicked up at me, amused by what I had done. Thankfully, he let it go. Do you want to leave your truck here and ride with me, or follow? Nero asked. Cage looked at me. Whatever you want to do, I told him, not wanting to upset him anymore. We'll follow you, Cage said, getting into his truck. The drive to Nero's place turned out to be long. They lived 25 minutes out of town. That was fine because it gave me time to check in with Cage. How are you feeling? Nervous? Scared? What if she doesn't like me? Cage, she'll love you. Everyone does. I just hope she likes me. Cage didn't reply. Didn't that mean that he was worried about the same thing? I probably shouldn't have come. I could see that now. But it was too late for him to drop me off at the bed and breakfast without making things worse between us. So I instead chose to keep my mouth closed and be as invisible as possible. Cage was meeting his mother for the first time. I just wanted him to be comfortable. He seemed to be having a hard enough time as is. He didn't need all of the complications that I brought along with what he was already going through. When Nero's truck pulled over, it was into a sparsely populated trailer park. I didn't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting this. I looked over at Cage to judge his reaction. He didn't have one. I could tell that he was on edge, but it probably didn't have to do with where we were. Following Nero to an aging mobile home that reminded me of the office on a construction site, we parked next to Nero's truck and joined Nero in front of it. Nero looked at Cage with sympathy in his eyes. He looked like he wanted to tell Cage something before he invited him in. He didn't. Come, he said nervously before leading us up the wobbly stairs to the front door. Waiting at the bottom of them, I put my hand on the railing. Paint chips stuck to my palm. Subtly brushing them off, I waited my turn to ascend and enter.
Inside was worn, but tidy. The linoleum floors, floral wallpaper, and wooden kitchen cabinets had all faded to the same shade of beige. It was also very small. To the right of the door was the kitchen. To the left was the TV room, and past that was a small hallway with three doors. I turned to Cage. His eyes were locked on the woman sitting on the couch in front of the TV. With her dark, graying hair, angular features, and face full of dimples, there was only one person she could be. She had clearly been as beautiful as Cage was handsome, but time and a hard life had caught up with her. Not having turned when we had entered, Nero called to her. "Mama?" Nero said, getting her to turn around. Seeing Nero, Cage's mother next turned, examining us. She looked confused. "Mama, remember I said I was going to bring some friends by?" She didn't say anything, but her eyes bounced between the three of us. "This is Cage and his boyfriend Quinn," Nero said, speaking slowly. "Nice to meet you," Cage said, stepping forward. He lifted his hand to shake hers, but when she didn't move, he abandoned the gesture. "Nice to meet you," I said, questioning if I should be here. "Mama, I found out something about Cage that you should know." Her eyes turned to Nero. "Cage is my brother." Her increasingly confused look said that she had understood.
"Your brother?" she said slowly. "Yeah, Mama. Quinn took our blood and everything. He's my brother."
"Your brother?"
"Yeah, our blood says that we share the same father and mother."
She looked extremely confused after that. As she fought to wrap her thoughts around what Nero was saying, Cage stepped forward.
"Mama, you know how you say that they took your baby away from you and told you that he had died? Mama, this is your son. He's your baby," Nero said, getting emotional.
"You were right, Mama. He was alive. This is him."
"Nice to meet you," Cage said again. She stared at his face from the couch.
"Augustus?" she said, squinting at him.
"My name's Cage," he told her.
"I named you Augustus," she said, slowly melting into tears. "They took you from me and told me you had died. I knew you hadn't died. I told them to show you to me. They couldn't. They couldn't," she said, reaching up for Cage, overwhelmed.
Throwing himself into his mother's arms, both held each other, crying. I couldn't imagine what Cage was going through, but it felt good to know that I had helped do this for him. It had to be the most fulfilling thing I had ever done. Soon, Nero joined them on the couch and embraced the two. The three cried and held each other, not saying a word. I couldn't escape the moment. Tears rolled down my cheeks as much as they did theirs. This was their private moment, though. I shouldn't have been there. Without any of them noticing, I slipped outside and made my way to the truck. Getting in, I bundled up and thought. This was a different world than anything I could have imagined a short time ago. I had grown up around billionaires and geniuses. I knew people had lives like Nero's and his mom's, but only from movies and TV. It is hard to see something as real if that is your only reference. But sitting in the truck, looking around, it was now all very real. I didn't know what to think about it. I was in the truck for 30 minutes before Cage came out and joined me.
"You left," he stated.
"I wanted to give you all some privacy." Cage's eyes dipped down without him responding.
"You did this. You and your big brain found my mother. All I can say is, thank you."
"Of course," I responded, not knowing what else to say.
"It's not, of course,"
My entire life, I've wondered what she looked like and what it would be like to hear her voice. You gave me that, and I don't think anyone else in the world could have. I responded with a tight-lipped smile. I didn't know what I was supposed to say. Cage's eyes left mine as he measured what he would say next. I want to spend some time with her, with the both of them, but I don't want you to feel like you have to sit out here. Do you mind if I drop you off at the bed and breakfast? It would probably be more comfortable than sitting in this cold truck. Maybe you could call Titus. I'm sure he'd want to hang out. I didn't know what I was expecting Cage to say, but it wasn't this. Maybe I thought he would encourage me to come inside. Maybe I thought he would want to bring me into his moment. But thinking about it, that was probably just a fantasy. Cage had just met his mother for the first time. He had so many questions for her. What would I do except sit there? He was right. It was better that I go somewhere else instead of being the awkward guy sitting in the car during the most important moments of his life. I wouldn't want you to have to drop me. This is Snowtip Falls. You can't exactly call an Uber, he said with a smile. I'll drop you and come back. Okay, I agreed, feeling Cage slowly pull away. Cage headed back to the front door, and Nero came out to talk to him. Nero looked back at me as Cage spoke. I hated being the asshole breaking up this amazing moment. I felt awful. Both Cage and he walked back to the truck. As Cage got in, Nero circled to my door. Withdrawing his hand from his pocket, he knocked and stepped back. I took that as a sign that he wanted me to come out. When I did, he threw his arms around me. Cage said that you were the one to bring us together, he whispered into my ear. Thank you. Thank you, he said before slapping my back and pulling away. You're welcome, was the only thing I could reply. I couldn't truly understand what this moment meant to them. How could I? I had grown up with more love and family than I knew what to do with. But the moment wasn't completely lost on me. Would I ever in my life accomplish anything greater than what I had done for them? I didn't know. Cage and I didn't speak much on the drive back to town. He was deep in thought. The selfish part of me wished that a few of those thoughts were of me. It was probably too much to ask for, though. Pulling up to Dr. Sonia's bed and breakfast, Callie quickly came outside to greet us. Standing in front of the door on the porch, he looked at us with a light in his eyes. Before I got out, Dr. Sonia joined him. It looks like I'm leaving you in good hands, Cage said, staring at the two. Don't worry about me. Go. Spend time with your family. You deserve this. I'll be fine, I told him. I love you, Cage said, leaning over and kissing me. I love you too, I told him before grabbing my bag and leaving the truck. Walking to the veranda, Cage didn't wait for me to get there before driving away. I turned to watch him go. I got the sense that he didn't look back. I couldn't know that for sure, but it certainly felt like it. Welcome back, Dr. Sonia said enthusiastically. It's good to see you, she said, putting her arm around me and leading me in. Will Cage be coming back? I don't know, I told her honestly. We've found his mother. She gasped in delight. Really? That's amazing. It is. It's quite wonderful. Well, we'll have to do something to celebrate, she concluded, making me feel at home. I dropped my bag in my room and lied in bed thinking about everything. I couldn't help but feel uneasy. I wasn't sure why. Maybe it had to do with him not texting me for a week. That had really hurt me. And the worst part was that I still didn't know what had triggered it. If I didn't know what caused it, How did I know that I wasn't triggering it again right now? After I had driven myself crazy thinking about it, I decided to head downstairs.
Did you have dinner plans? Would you like to join us?
Dr. Sonia said from the kitchen.
I don't think I have plans. I haven't spoken to Cage, though. Then how about you join us? And if you have to run off, you do,
she suggested with a smile.
Sounds great. Thank you,
I told her before joining Callie in the living room watching TV. I could feel Callie's uneasiness as I sat there with him. Always having been the shy one, I knew how he felt.
How long have you been playing football?
I asked him, causing his cheeks to turn bright red. Cage might have been right. He did seem to have a crush on me.
Since freshman year, he eventually squeaked.
That's cool. Are you thinking about attending East Tennessee?
I was thinking about it.
It's a good school. I think you'd like it there. If you ever want a tour, let me know. Callie didn't respond, but he did turn beet red at my suggestion. I was going to have to be careful with what I said to him. The last thing I wanted to do was hurt him or lead him on. Bringing up Cage many times, I spent the rest of the night with my two hosts. After dinner, Dr. Sonia suggested a game of Scrabble.
I have to warn you, I'm pretty good,
Dr. Sonia said proudly.
There's a group of us in town that play, and I haven't lost a game in 2 years.
I nodded politely, and then beat them by 50 points. Dr. Sonia stared at the board, shocked.
We need to play that again, she announced.
We did, and the results were similar. But more importantly, it was fun. It took my mind off of Cage. So, when he texted me saying that he was going to sleep there, it stung less. Heading to bed alone and waking up alone, I tried not to let my imagination get away from me. The only reason Cage hadn't returned was because he wanted to spend time with his family. That made complete sense. It had nothing to do with me or how he felt about us. He needed this time, and I was going to give it to him. I didn't hear from him until nearly 11 a.m., when he told me that he would come by around 7 p.m. to pick me up.
Are you having a good time?
I texted in reply. It took him 30 minutes to text me back.
Definitely. I'll tell you all about it later.
I was trying, but it was getting harder not to take this personally. No matter what I told myself, I couldn't shake my insecurity. To take my mind off of it, I texted Titus. It took less than a minute for him to call me back.
Quinn, how the hell are you? I was just thinking about you two.
I was texting you because I'm in town.
Seriously? Let's get together. When are you two free?
I explained to him where Cage was and what they were doing, so he instead suggested that we do some ice fishing.
You already made the hole, Titus joked.
Although I had never gone ice fishing, I had done plenty of shallow water fishing during my summers in the Bahamas. Most days, it was the only thing to do. After a day out on the ice, we didn't end up catching anything. Titus said it was because they weren't biting. My guess was that it was his nonstop talking. That was fine with me, though. What was I going to do with a fish other than throw it back? And Titus was interesting to talk. I mean, listen to. He had ideas about a lot of things, most of which involved Snowtip Falls. Have you given any more thought to coming to East Tennessee University? I asked him, knowing he would fit right in.
Yes, I have. I have to say that the two of you have inspired me. I will be filling out an application for next semester, he said with a smile.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and maybe when I'm there, I'll find myself a great guy like you did, he said with a knowing smile.
I stared at Titus, not wanting to express my surprise. I really shouldn't have been. The one thing I should have learned from the people I grew up with was that you didn't have to look or act a certain way to like someone of the same sex.
So you're gay? Bisexual?
Titus's head bopped around as he answered.
Let's say I'm open, he said with another of his brilliant smiles. I haven't said that to anyone before. Thanks for sharing it with me. If you come to ET, I'll have to introduce you to my roommate Lou. I don't know that many people at school like us. I don't know any other people at all, really. But he'll be able to tell you all the places to meet guys. That's kind of his specialty. He sounds like a great resource. He's a great person, I said, not able to say enough about Lou. The rest of our day was spent discussing when we each realized that we were into guys. I also shared my three-parent upbringing. He was fascinated by it. After he expressed a tremendous interest in meeting them, I promised I would introduce him. I certainly would have preferred to spend the day with Cage, but the day I had with Titus was pretty good. Overall, the weekend ended up being better than I would have had if I had stayed at school and allowed Cage to come up by himself. I liked Titus, Dr. Sonia, and Callie. When Cage came to pick me up, I promised that I would come back and hang out with them again. "You're always welcome," Dr. Sonia told me as I left. "How was your time with Nero and your mom?" I asked Cage as soon as I entered the truck.
"It was pretty amazing," he confirmed.
Cage looked different. The tension that had enveloped him as we drove up was gone. He seemed calmer and more settled. For the next hour and a half, Cage filled me in on what he had learned about the mystery surrounding his birth.
"I couldn't ask all of the questions I wanted to. She's not fully there, mentally," Cage explained. "Dr. Tom thinks she has some type of dementia. She has an unusual set of symptoms, though. And the longer I was there, the better she got. Nero said that he hadn't seen her this clear-minded in years. That's why I decided to sleep over and spend today. The longer I was there, the more she was able to tell me. I didn't want to risk leaving and losing the momentum."
"That makes sense. I'm glad you were able to spend so much time with her."
"Yeah,"
he said, letting the conversation drop. Though he wasn't saying it, it was clear that there was something else on his mind. Everything about it filled me with dread. I wanted to ask him what he learned about Nero and maybe their father, but I didn't dare bring it up. At this point, I just wanted to get home without a disaster happening. I thought I had made it until Cage parked the truck in front of my place and turned the engine off.
"Did you want to come up?"
I asked, hoping it was the case.
"Actually, we need to talk."
The blood rushed from my face hearing those words. I was a deer in the headlights.
"About what?" "I told you that the more time I spent with my mom, the better she got, right?"
"Yes."
"I think I'm gonna move to Snowtip Falls and stay there for a while."
My fingers tingled, and there was a hollowness in my throat that made me want to throw up.
"What about classes? Are you gonna drive back and forth? That's a long drive." "I think I'm gonna drop out of school for now."
"But you're so close. This is your last semester."
"My mom needs me. Nero needs me. He's been taking care of her alone all this time. It's been hard for him. He said that she isn't always as in control as she was this weekend. He needs help, and they're my family."
My next question caused heat to flash across my face.
"What about us? Will you be coming back to see me?"
Every second Cage didn't answer sucked the life out of me. I thought that was painful, until he spoke.
"I'm not sure if we should be together."
"What?" I said, starting to sweat.
"But you said you loved me."
"I do. You don't have to question that. I do."
"Then what?"
"You are an incredible guy, the most amazing guy I've ever met. But I'm not enough for you."
"What do you mean you're not enough? You're everything I've ever wanted."
"I'm not. I thought I could be, but I can't. I don't want to play football anymore. I know how important that is to you."
"I never said you playing football was important to me. I never said that."
"You didn't have to. Remember when I talked about what my dream was? How all I wanted was to settle down somewhere and raise a family?
How what I wanted was a simple life?
Yes.
It's true. And I don't have it in me to live someone else's life, even if that other life is for you.
But I never asked you to.
No, but be honest. When I told you that I was going back to football, you didn't feel relief? Be honest.
I thought about it. It wasn't exactly relief, I explained.
Okay. Was it that with me as the first out football player, the two of us made sense together?
I stared at him. He was right. That was exactly how I felt.
I thought so. We don't make sense together without football. I wish it were different, but that's the truth.
Cage, I love you, I told him, no longer able to hold back my tears.
Quinn, I love you too.
I do.
And if you say to me that you can imagine having a simple life with me in Snowtip Falls instead of you going off to somewhere amazing and changing the world, then I will be all in. Tell me that you don't need that, and I will promise to spend the rest of my life with you without hesitation. Just tell me that, he pleaded. The tears flowed down my cheeks, realizing what I had to say.
Cage, you can't imagine the responsibility that I have. People are depending on me.
And with my mother, you can't imagine the responsibility I have. She and Nero are depending on me, he said, his eyes filling with tears.
Is this it? I asked him, desperate for him to say that it wasn't.
I guess so, he said, shattering my heart.
I knew I should have said something after that. Anything. But I couldn't. The pain I felt disconnected me from my body. I floated somewhere over the two of us looking down. I was sad for the boy crying his eyes out in the passenger seat of Cage's truck. But I couldn't feel him. It would have been too much. I was grateful when he opened his door and stepped into the cold. Anything was better than watching him suffer. Now, he just needed to make it inside and to his apartment before his legs gave out from under him and he collapsed. Wishing him forward step by step, he ascended the stairs. When he took out his key and attempted to put it into the lock was when I couldn't hold it back anymore. Suddenly drowning in pain, the world around me spun. Luckily, I didn't have to open the door. A friendly face opened it, and now it was looking back at me.
Are you okay? Lou asked. Quinn, are you all right?
I wanted to say I wasn't. I wanted to tell him that Cage and I had broken up and that we weren't getting back together. I couldn't. All I could do was step to him and fall into Lou's arms.
He hurt me,
was what I said.
I don't know what to do,
I explained before spending the rest of the night suffocating on my own tears. As devastated as I was when Cage hadn't texted me back, it was nothing close to what I felt for the next few weeks. One thing became clear to me. I wasn't made for this. Maybe I was weaker than everyone else. Lou went through guys like popcorn. None of them even left butter on his fingers. Yet, I dated one guy, and breaking up with him left me catatonic. I should have known that I wasn't made for love. Not in 20 years had I found someone to love me back. Why was that? I thought it was something I could escape at a school in the middle of nowhere, but the real problem was that no matter where I went, I was there. The thing that no one loved about me was me. Lou did his best to get me out of bed and at least attend classes, but I couldn't do that either. Part of me knew that no matter the subject, I could probably cram it a few days before the exam and pass. The other part was that I didn't see the point in school anymore. What was the point of anything? Why should I leave bed except to eat and go to the bathroom? With all of my genius, I couldn't figure that out. So instead, I lied there. I cried,
and I allowed my thoughts to endlessly spiral around Cage. One second I loved him, the next second I hated him. But every moment I cursed the fatal flaw in me that had made me unlovable.
Quinn, you have to get out of bed,
Lou said insistently.
If not for you, for me. There is a smell coming from here that's making the guys I bring home think I'm using the room to store dead bodies.
Sorry, I said, not wanting to be the burden I was. Lou sighed and then crawled into my bed, wrapping his arms around me.
Come on, Lamb Chop. You gotta snap out of this. There are other guys out there. Believe me. And a hot guy like you would have your pick. You just need to go outside, Lamb Chop. How do I get you to leave this room?
I don't know, I told him honestly.
Okay, maybe that was too much to ask for. How do I get you to leave this bed?
I didn't respond. Lou popped up and looked around.
That's it. I was trying to be Mr. Nice Guy, but you've given me no choice. Where is it?
What?
Your phone? Don't call Cage. You think I want to call Cage, that stinking rat bastard? Oh no. He needs to burn in hell for what he did to you.
He was doing it for his...
If you tell me that he had to do it for his sick mom, I swear to God I'm gonna lose it. You don't get to defend him until you're capable of standing long enough to take a shower. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Now, where's your phone?
In the drawer.
Lou looked at the nightstand and found a charger cord preventing it from closing. I didn't feel like explaining how it got that way, and he didn't ask. Instead, he took it out, grabbed my finger, unlocked it, and searched the contacts.
Who are you calling?
I asked, realizing that I had a few numbers I wouldn't want him to call. Hello, Mr. Toro? Hi, you don't know me, but this is Quinn's roommate. It's nice to meet you too. My head popped up. You called my dad? Low blow. He wasn't even on my radar of people I didn't want to face. I turned over and buried my head in my pillow. Listen, I'm calling because I have a bit of a situation with Quinn. You called my dad? I groaned. Yes, I can't get him out of bed, Lou said to my father. Why is it? It's because some guy broke his heart. What? No! I exclaimed, reaching for the phone. Lou jumped out of the way. I know, they're the worst, aren't they? Anyway, I was wondering if you had some way to get him up to at least take a shower or something. Yeah, it does smell rather rank in here. No, I said, mortified. Okay, you got it, Lou said, lowering the phone. Quinn, I have your dad. He wants to talk to you. I hate you, I told him, meaning it. But I love you, he said, handing me the phone with a smile and leaving the room. I looked at the phone and took a deep breath. It wasn't that I didn't want to talk to Daddy Lane about this. It was just that it was humiliating. I wanted him to be proud of me. But now, more than any other time, it was clear that I wasn't someone anyone should be proud of. Especially a guy who was strong enough to hold two race cars together like he could. Dad? I said, doing my best to sound composed.
Quinn, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Quinn. That was when I lost it. Retching pain wafted out of me as snot drained down my face.
It just hurts so much, Dad. Why does it have to hurt so much?
Because that's love. Sometimes it hurts.
But why?
My father went quiet on the other end.
Okay, that's it. Get out of bed, get dressed. I'll be there in 4 hours.
What?
Your roommate caught me on the jet flying back to New York. I'm making a detour to you. We're gonna go get some dinner, and we are going to talk this out.
What are you talking about?
I mean it. Get out of bed, get dressed. I'm gonna be there in 4 hours.
Are Mom and Dad with you?
Nope, They're back in New York. It's just me. We're gonna have a father and son talk about dating guys. This conversation is long overdue.
As much as I didn't want to, after the call, I dragged myself out of bed and into the shower.
Hallelujah!
Lou yelled from the living room.
I hate you. I mumbled with the shower droplets drowning me out. I didn't hate him. Lou was the best friend I'd ever had. I might have starved if it wasn't for him, because there was no way I was walking to the front door to get my food deliveries. He also cared about me in a way that I had hoped that Cage would. Lou deserved more from his college experience than having to take care of me. Returning to my bedroom clean, I smelled what Lou had talked about. My room smelled like a tomb. I cracked a window. I didn't want my dad to see me like this. All of my parents, but especially Daddy Lane, imagined great things from me. Yet, here I was, unable to feed myself after having my heart broken by a guy. I wasn't as special as he thought I was. I sat on the edge of my bed in my towel for a long time. It had taken a lot of energy to take a shower. I needed to rest. When I received the text from Dad saying he had landed, I forced myself to get dressed.
He emerges,
Lou said when I entered the living room. I gave him a resentful glare. That didn't stop him from running over and throwing his arms around me.
And you smell good.
I had my doubts about calling your dad on you, but look at my lamb chop now. I wasn't resisting his hug. It felt really good, actually. But when the intercom buzzed, he let me go so I could reply. Hello?
Quinn, it's Dad.
Coming down. You're not going to invite him up?
Why would I?
So I could meet him? Any tree that you fell from has got to be yum. I gave him an annoyed look and headed for the door. The truth was that my whole life I have had people telling me how good-looking my dads were, but especially Daddy Lane. I didn't need Lou having fantasies about him and then telling me about it.
Ew!
I tried to leave Lou behind, but when I left the room, he did too.
What are you doing?
Just making sure you get downstairs all right,
he said with a devilish smirk.
Whatever, I said, not having enough energy to fight him.
Lou followed me downstairs with a smile on his face. Dad, I said, looking at my father just past the door. Lou gasped. He didn't need to tell me that I would never live up to Daddy Lane. It was obvious. Daddy Lane went from being so poor that he and his mother couldn't afford heat during Wisconsin winters to having billions of dollars under management at his investment firm. On top of that, he looked like the guy sailing the yacht in cologne commercials. No matter what I did, I could never measure up to him. And now Lou knew it too.
And who's this? Dad asked.
This is my roommate, Lou.
Nice to meet you, Lou, Dad said with one of his charming smiles.
Lou giggled and then pulled himself together and offered Dad his hand.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Toro.
Thank you for looking after my son. He needs some looking after.
Dad? Of course. Anything for my lamb chop. I mean, Quinn.
And thanks for giving me a call. It looks like I came just in time.
I looked at him confused and then looked down at myself. I thought I had done a good job of pulling myself together.
Shall we go? Again, it was good to meet you, Lou. The next time I'm in town, we'll all have to go out to dinner.
I look forward to it, Mr. Toro,
Lou said, blushing.
Yeah, I was sure he was.
Walking away, Dad put his arm around me. It felt good to feel him there, though he might have done it so that he could fix my hair.
What are you doing?
Did you look in the mirror before you came outside?
Not everyone cares about looks as much as you do, Dad. The truth was that I had forgotten to, and although I had managed to get dressed, it had completely slipped my mind to brush my hair. Baby steps. As he always did, Dad took me to the best restaurant he could find. Considering we were in East Tennessee,
It wasn't like the ones in New York and Los Angeles, but it was nice. For some reason, I could barely taste the food, but that probably had more to do with Cage than the chef.
So tell me, what's going on, Quinn? Who's this guy who broke your heart?
Despite whatever faults Daddy Lane had, he always listened closely. As he did this time, he seemed to genuinely feel my pain.
You know, your dad once left me heartbroken.
That's not the way he tells it. He said that you broke his heart.
I guess it's a matter of perspective. It was a crazy time.
You mean with the hurricane?
Yeah. It was insane. You can't imagine it. And I was a kid back then. I hadn't quite figured out what was important. It was your dad who was important. And your mom. What they needed and wanted was what was important.
What's important to Cage is taking care of his mother, I told him.
As it should be.
But it hurts. I loved him. And he loved me. He told me he did.
I'm sure that he did. And that you do. And that's wonderful for as long as it lasts. But loving someone sometimes means letting them go. Do you think your parents and I wanted you to move so far away? Don't you think that we would rather you live with us forever? You're a little miracle, even if you aren't that little anymore, Dad said with a smile.
You probably didn't, but I needed to get away to find myself, I told him, still feeling guilty about leaving.
And we know that. We want you to be all you can be, not just for us, but for everyone. So you can love this guy, but sometimes loving someone means letting them go.
It hurts, Dad. It really hurts. I could see that I had made my dad sad.
You know you don't have to do any of this, right?
What do you mean?
I mean school. You're probably already smarter than everyone here.
I'm not.
Aren't you, though? And even if you don't have the information now, couldn't you learn it in a week? Quinn, you decided to go to university to help you figure out who you are, which is admirable. But it's not like you couldn't figure it out on your own. There's no magic formula that universities have discovered that spits out fully formed people by the end. Quinn, you have a destiny. You are going to change the world. There's no question about it. And taking a class called Introduction to Childhood Education isn't going to get you there. Quinn, come home and join the firm.
Dad,
everyone knows you're going to change the world. Want to know a secret? The secret is that I know how. You, Quinn, are going to be working with me, and you are going to direct your incredible brain power onto a set of business portfolios, and you're going to find the one that will end up curing cancer or recycling plastics or whatever. Then you are going to give them the financial resources that they need to change life as we know it. That's how you're going to change the world. Being here doesn't help you do that. In fact, it delays it. You are going to change the world, son. Cage has his responsibilities, and you have yours.
What if I don't want to do any of that? It sounds so selfish to say, but what if I just want to get married and have kids like Daddy Reed did? Can't that be okay too?
Dad looked at me like I had two heads. Quinn, is that what you want?
I don't know. Maybe. I looked up at Dad and couldn't miss the disappointment in his eyes. It took a while for him to be able to hide it.
Son, I love you. Whatever you choose to do will be just fine with me. But let me ask you this. Even if that's not what you want, what's keeping you here? You can't pretend, and it hurts me to say this, but Cage has made his choice. He could have chosen you. He didn't. So it doesn't matter if you choose him, because he's made clear what he wants. And believe me, all you can do is respect that.
I didn't want to cry in front of my dad, but I wanted to cry.
What hurt so much was knowing that he was right. Cage could have figured out a way. He didn't have to drop out of school. He didn't have to break things off with me. He should have given us a chance to work things out. Instead, he walked away from us. That told me everything I needed to know about how he felt about me. You're right, Dad. I need to let him go. And every day I spend here is a day wasted when I could be doing the thing I was born to do. There's no point in being here. I'll pack up my things. I'm coming home.